Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about empowering each of us with a perspective and tools to grow and change. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our mission here at Open Your Eyes is to help us all open our eyes a bit more to the possibilities and realities all around us. So each week, we try to bring a message that will help you in real and practical ways to live a happier life. So today, this podcast, I hope, will help you do exactly that and to see things a little bit differently than you did before. Let's get started. Today, I'd like to ask and answer this question. What glasses are you wearing? Now, if I were to ask you what color are your eyes, you could probably answer without hesitation. Brown, blue, green. But what if I asked you what type of glasses are you wearing? You would assume I was talking about your reading glasses or sunglasses, but I'm not talking about those kind of glasses. I'm talking about the glasses through which you are viewing and living your life. You see, we all have lenses through which we see the world. And sometimes these lenses reflect reality, but you and I would be surprised how much our lens doesn't reflect true reality. I grew up around stress. My parents were stressed about a lot of things, for example. They stressed about chores, everyday things, and pretty much everything in life. As a result, I have the tendency to see the world through the same lens. I tend to get stressed about doing everyday things, and I have to work all the time at putting on a different pair of glasses, seeing things differently. My father-in-law, for example, grew up around scarcity. As a result, he constantly views life through this lens, a bit of mistrust and a view of scarcity. You see, our lens can become our default setting. For me, it's odd that I've lived as an adult for decades, but my default lens from my childhood continues to remain the same, and I have to work at seeing life through a different lens. What about you? What's your default lens? Well, people call your lens personality or natural tendencies or other terms, but many of us don't understand why other people don't see things the same way as we see them. The fascinating thing about those glasses that we wear is that we don't consciously choose them. They were handed to us one experience at a time. They were shaped by parents who meant well, or teachers who encouraged us or discouraged us, friends who accepted us or rejected us, victories that gave us confidence or failures that stole that confidence. Long before we learned algebra or how to drive a car, we were learning something far more important. We were learning how to interpret the world, and those interpretations became our lens. The remarkable part is that after wearing those lenses for years, we stop noticing that they're there. We assume we're simply seeing reality. We don't think, well, this is only my perspective. And as a result, we tend to think this is just the way things are. Now, imagine someone placing a pair of lightly tinted glasses on your face while you were asleep. The tint is so subtle you can hardly notice it. But every day, the tint becomes just a little darker. After a few months, you don't remember what the world looked like before. The blue skies tinted seem normal. Green grass tinted seems normal. Everything looks exactly as you expect it should. Then one day, someone removes the glasses and suddenly you realize the world has been different all along. This is how our minds work. Modern neuroscience has revealed something astonishing. We tend to think our eyes function like cameras, faithfully recording the world exactly as it is. Well, they don't. Your brain does something extraordinary. It interprets the waves of light that your eye captures, and it fills in missing details, filters enormous amounts of information, and constantly compares what it expects with what is actually happening. In other words, your brain isn't simply observing reality. It's actively constructing your experience of reality. And this happens with all sorts of input that extends far beyond your eyes. I call this your belief window. That explains why two intelligent people can witness the exact same event and leave with completely different conclusions. One person loses a job and believes, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for. Another loses the same job and concludes, my career is over. One student receives a disappointing grade and decides I'm just not smart enough. And another says, I just need a different strategy. The event didn't determine the outcome. Their glasses did. Now, most of the time, our glasses become invisible to us. We don't question them because they become part of who we are. And as a result, we begin to confuse our conclusions or what we think we see with facts. I'm not creative. I've never been good with money. I'm too old. I'm too young. People don't like me. These are all inaccurate facts that we sometimes tend to believe. Psychology tells us that once we adopt a belief, our minds become remarkably efficient at gathering evidence to support that belief. If you believe people are generous, you'll notice acts of kindness. If you believe people are selfish, you'll collect examples to prove yourself right. If you believe opportunity is scarce, every success someone else enjoys begins to feel like one less opportunity for you. The world begins to look like the glasses that you're wearing. Now, think about the last time you bought a vehicle. Maybe it was a white pickup truck or a blue SUV. Suddenly, you started seeing that exact model and color everywhere. It wasn't just because thousands of new vehicles appeared overnight. They've always been there. Your brain simply decided that they mattered. And once they became important, you noticed what had previously been invisible. Opportunity in your life and mine works very much the same way, and so do obstacles. A great example of this occurred in 2018. Deep inside a flooded cave in northern Thailand, 12 boys from a youth soccer team and their coach entered a rather famous local cave after practice, something they had done before. While they explored, heavy monsoon rains filled the narrow passages behind them, trapping them nearly 2.5 miles underground. As the days passed without a rescue, the world's attention focused on the impossibilities of reaching the boys. Rescue teams from multiple countries arrived with extraordinary expertise, yet each day passed, making survival appear less likely. The cave continued to be flooded from ongoing rainstorms, and after several failed attempts, many rescuers quietly began to believe there was little chance anyone remained alive. Then, two British cave divers, Richard Stanton and John Bullithan, made a decision that reflected a completely different view. These men refused to let probability become certainty. They continued asking a simple question: what if they're alive? And that question changed their approach and their search. 9 days after the boys disappeared, the lights of the British climbers pierced the darkness of the muddy chamber where all 12 boys and their coach sat together, hungry and exhausted, but alive. One diver asked, "How many are there of you?" The boys answered, 13. The diver smiled and replied, "Brilliant." Everyone was looking at the same cave. Everyone knew the same facts. Everyone understood the same dangers, but not everyone was wearing the same glasses. In your life and business, you've likely experienced something much the same. Your view can open or shut possibilities and opportunities. On a hot August afternoon in 1949 in the mountains of Montana, a team of 15 smoke jumpers parachuted into a wildfire known as the Mann Gulch Fire. At first, the assignment appeared routine. These were experienced firefighters, trained to move quickly across difficult terrain while carrying heavy tools, axes, saws, and shovels, that represented both their profession and their security. Then a sudden change in the wind, a shift, caused a rapid blow-up fire, cutting off their escape route and trapping them on steep terrain. The firefighters ran, and so did their foreman, Wag Dodge. Then Dodge did something that required the lens of an experienced firefighter. He stopped and started what is called a burnout. He struck a match, and he deliberately lit the dry grass in front of him. Other men kept running, clutching very heavy tools that had always helped them fight fires. Dodge stepped into the small area he had just burned, lay down on the blackened ground, and waited. When the massive wildfire reached him, it had no more fuel to burn in that patch, and the flames swept around him. He survived, and most of the crew didn't follow him. They tried to outrun the fire instead, and in total, 13 firefighters died, and only 3 survived. Researchers have spent decades studying what happened that day. The heartbreaking conclusion wasn't that the firefighters lacked courage or endurance. It was that they couldn't abandon the mental model that had always served them. Their tools represented safety, so they carried them until the very end. Their experience, which had protected them hundreds of times before, became the very thing that prevented them from recognizing a new solution. Now, we are very much the same. Our tendency is to rely on the mental tools that have served us in the past, and sometimes our greatest strengths quietly become our greatest blind spots. We continue solving today's problems with yesterday's assumptions. So, how can we put on a different belief window? Well, most of us wear what I call today glasses. We naturally evaluate our choices based on what it may cost us today, or how uncomfortable it feels today, or whether it produces immediate results. Psychologists call this temporal discounting. We instinctively value what we can experience now more than what we might gain years from now. This type of discounting is driven by a few things: uncertainty about the future, emotional immediacy, meaning we feel present rewards more strongly than future ones, and brain wiring. Our impulse favors now over later. Darris Farrow teaches it this way: when something feels heavy or urgent or overwhelming, I ask myself, will this matter in a week? In a year? In 10 years? This question does 2 things at once. First, it slows me down. Most bad decisions are speed decisions. We react. We fire back. We buy, sell, quit, post, or blow up the relationship because the emotion feels like truth. Second, it forces perspective. It moves you from what I feel right now to what this actually is. The idea is simple. When you view a problem from the future, it loses some of its emotional grip. Now, studies suggest it can reduce distress by changing the way you appraise the event. You stop treating it like the end of the world and start treating it like a moment that will pass. The farther something is, in time, distance, or social proximity, the more you think in bigger concepts, more meaning, less drama. The more connected you feel to your future self, the less you sabotage yourself in the present. You stop treating tomorrow's you like a stranger. Put simply, when you can feel the future, you can make choices that benefit yourself later. The same goes for when we're facing something difficult and dealing with the emotion of it. You see, learning a language doesn't feel rewarding after one lesson. Saving for retirement doesn't feel exciting after one paycheck. Building a business rarely feels successful during its first difficult weeks or months. The difference between people who abandon worthwhile pursuits and those who persevere isn't very much of the time motivation. It's the glasses they wear. Here's a simple example. In the middle of the last decade, NVIDIA was known primarily as a company that built graphics processors for video games. Gamers loved their products, but few people imagined those chips would become the foundation of one of the most significant tech revolutions in history. Investors repeatedly questioned why the CEO continued pouring enormous resources into AI. The investments were expensive and revenue was uncertain. But the CEO saw something different. He believed AI would eventually require unprecedented computer power. And instead of asking, how do we improve this quarter, he kept asking, what will the world need in 5 or 10 years? 4 years, many people viewed those investments as unnecessary. Then AI transformed nearly every conversation in tech, and companies around the world scrambled to acquire the very chips NVIDIA had spent years developing. The world caught up to the glasses the CEO had been wearing all along. So, let's go back to Farrow's lesson. He teaches the following: think of time horizons as tools Let's say you get a rude email. Your ego wants to win. Your pride wants to respond fast. But ask, will I be proud of this reply in 10 minutes? And most of the time, the best move is to wait, to breathe, to write a calmer draft. Now, think in terms of 1 week. You've had a bad day and your mind starts making it a bad week. You know the pattern. One setback becomes a story. This will always happen. I'm behind. I'm failing. But ask, will this matter next week? Often the answer is no. Now think in terms of a year. A one-year lens forces you to stop obsessing over single events. One great workout means nothing. One good business success also means nothing. What matters is whether you can do it consistently. You can see why using a time frame lens can change your behavior and decision-making. Many of us unknowingly confuse outcomes with timing. We decide something won't work because it hasn't yet worked. One of the most dangerous questions we ask ourselves when we are starting or building a business is this: is it working? A much better question or lens is, am I giving it enough time to work? The answer depends entirely on the glasses that you're wearing. The business builder who expects success within 6 months sometimes gives up just before momentum begins. The musician who expects mastery after 1 year becomes discouraged. The student who expects immediate confidence mistakes the discomfort of learning for inability. Today's glasses constantly ask, how do I feel? 5 year glasses asks, who am I becoming? And that's an entirely different conversation. Boyan Slat, a Dutch teenager who, while scuba diving in Greece, was struck by the amount of plastic floating in the ocean. Most people who witnessed the same pollution concluded the problem was really large. Governments debated policy. Environmental organizations organized cleanup efforts. But Slat asked a different question. What if, instead of chasing plastic, we let the ocean bring the plastic to us? It was an unconventional idea. You see, his earliest prototypes to capture plastic failed, and engineers criticized his designs. Ocean currents behaved differently than expected, and each setback offered Slat a choice. He could interpret failure as evidence the vision was impossible, or he could interpret it as information that improved the next design. And he chose the latter. Over the following years, his organization repeatedly redesigned his systems, learning from each unsuccessful attempt. Today, large-scale cleanup devices continue removing plastic from the Pacific, while related systems intercept waste in rivers before it reaches the sea. At a minimum, his efforts raised significant awareness. And I'm one of those who became fascinated by his efforts. He wore future glasses, not present view glasses. People wearing future glasses are willing to change strategies without abandoning the goal. Now, think about how often this happens in our personal lives. We tell ourselves we want healthier relationships, but after one difficult conversation, we conclude it isn't working. We want stronger families, but after a season of misunderstanding, we lower our expectations. We want financial freedom, but after a few months of disciplined saving, we become discouraged. But the right lens forces us to make decisions by asking an important question. How will I feel about this decision 5 years from now? I think at times we can spend time asking, why is this happening to me? It's a natural question, especially when something painful or confusing occurs. But it's also a question that tends to anchor us in the past. It pulls interpretation backward, forcing new experiences to be filtered through old conclusions. A different lens would cause us to ask, what could be the possibilities as a result of this? Daryl Davis, a blues musician, spent decades engaging in conversations with members of the Ku Klux Klan. His approach was not rooted in confrontation, and it was not driven by the desire to win arguments. Instead, it was driven by curiosity. He began conversations with a simple and disarming question: how can you hate me when you don't even know me? Over time, those conversations accumulated. One became several, and several became hundreds of conversations. And gradually, something unusual happened. Dozens, if not more, of individuals chose to leave the Ku Klux Klan entirely. In some cases, they even handed Davis their robes. Now, what's important is not just the behavioral change, but what preceded it. The environment did not change. The circumstances did not change. What changed first was perception. Once these people begin to see a different human reality in front of them, their conclusions about that reality begin to shift as well. In other words, the glasses changed first and everything else followed. That sequence matters because it reveals something about all human transformation. We often attempt to change behavior directly. We set new goals, we create new systems, we try new habits. For example, if someone believes exercise is punishment, they will eventually resist it. If they believe exercise is an investment in the person they're becoming, the same physical experience carries a completely different outcome and meaning. If someone believes saving money is deprivation, discipline becomes difficult. This is why I believe almost all change begins with opening our eyes. My doctoral studies and research led me to this conclusion years ago, that to construct a new reality or way of living, we have to first put on a new view. You and I have had experiences in which our view constrained us and limited us, but then we had a shift in our paradigm, and this freed us from our constraint and enabled us to make the change we needed to make. Now, let's take this a step further. This is why so many people agree in principle with long-term thinking, but struggle in the practice. Almost everyone agrees that saving money is wise. Almost everyone agrees that health matters. And almost everyone agrees that relationships require an investment. But when the moment of decision arrives, the present wins. Not because people don't care about the future, but because the future doesn't yet feel real enough to compete with what is right in front of them today. To form a belief strong enough to change your belief window, we have to value it. We have to place a value on it. For example, early in my life, I valued the principle of living without debt. This value directed how I lived for the first 8 to 10 years of my professional life while I worked to eliminate all debt from my life. How did I adopt this as a value? I learned the principle of finance in graduate school. So I had knowledge. Knowledge is essential to creating lasting values. Then I had to put it to the test, and I saw in bits and pieces the rewards of living without debt. And when I was out of debt, each month I could save my car payment, my house payment, I saw the rewards come my direction. So, to change a paradigm, to put on new glasses requires pretty much the same thing: knowledge, testing, and proof. Then your values begin to change. It also requires a change in your environment. I mean, you can surround yourself with the same conditions and the same input to your thinking and expect to change your glasses, but that would be very, very difficult. At Cornell University, food researcher Brian Wensick ran a series of experiments on how environment shapes eating behavior. In one well-known study, participants were given soup bowls that were secretly refilled from underneath without their knowledge. Even when the bowl was continuously refilled, people kept eating significantly more than with normal bowls, and many insisted they did not feel any more full than others. What made this interesting wasn't just overeating. It was their environment. People often interpret behavior as internal discipline issues, when in reality, they are reacting to invisible environmental lenses that they didn't recognize. Other things that impact our belief window are expectations. If you're building a business, your view of expectations can impact much of your faith and willingness to persevere. During modernization efforts on part of the London Underground, engineers noticed something strange. passengers were more frustrated by uncertainty of delay than the delay itself. So as a result, one operations team shifted how they communicated train disruptions. Instead of vague updates like service delay, they began providing precise countdown estimates, even when those estimates were imperfect. Something unexpected happened. Complaints dropped significantly, even when actual wait times did not improve. The facts, train delays, stayed similar, but the perceptions changed. Similarly, economists have discovered something counterintuitive about retirement savings behavior. People consistently said they wanted to save more for retirement, but when time came to actually reduce their paycheck, they didn't do it. So they designed a program called Save More Tomorrow. Instead of asking people to sacrifice money today, the program asked them to commit in advance to increasing savings in the future. It was tied to future pay raises. The results were impressive. Participation rates increased significantly, savings rates climbed, and people stayed in the program longer. What changed wasn't logic, it was time perception. People found it easy to commit to future sacrifice because their future glasses treated tomorrow as emotionally distant. But once their pay increase happened, the savings activated automatically, and that behavior aligned with their long-term goals, and they were more successful in savings. So as we end today, perhaps you can ask yourself, what glasses am I wearing? And seek to step out of your current view and put on a new belief window in your business, on your team, in your own sense of self, and watch. You may just find that what you see and how you see it can and does make a huge difference in your progress towards who you want to become. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend and join us next week for another podcast as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.